Everybody, you know how we do it. It's Friday night. Big shout out to all the kick-ass sponsors who rock this rogue show out every week. Start out with the Clock Tower Pub, man. Number one sports bar in all of Oregon. They are the home of MMA, cold beers, and hot chicks. Second, MMAMadhouse.com for all your local MMA news. Vision Smoke Shop, whether you need a piece for your pocket or fill the shelves, hit them up. Vision Smoke and Glass Distribution. Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, best guards in the business. Get clinched at getclinched.com. Big shout out to my personal tattoo artist, Greg at Ink Tank Tattoo, for all the great work he does on me, as well as Jax Media out of Canada, folks. Amazing, amazing work they do. JaxMedia.ca. Go Fight Live TV, home of MMA on iPay-per-view. Aggressive Clothing. You guys follow those bad boys at Aggressive MMA 1. Big shout out to Javier and the boys, Revolver MMA, nailing it with some sick-ass Muay Thai shirts. So, don't see the Skype links. Well, let me look real quick. Sorry, folks, we're trying to get somebody. Big shout out to all my great sponsors. I think I got Jeff so far with me on the line right now, from Clinch Cut the Mouth Guards. I am trying to figure out why there is no Skype link. So give me a second. I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out myself, man. Why it's not... it should be, like, popping right up. The Rogue Show live right now. Okay. It is under the clock at the top of the player. Hey, who's got feedback going? Jeff?
Yeah, I've got nothing going. Not me, dude.
Hey, 770, who do I got?
This is Drew. What's up, Skibby?
Hey.
Hey, Skibby, what's up? It's Andrew.
Hey, what's up, Killer? Somebody's got a fucking, their computer on, or...
No. I took mine off, not mine.
Yeah, it's Jeff from Clinch. I muted him. Nope. What the hell? Okay, I got it fixed. Okay, it's fixed. Okay, guys, we're just waiting on Vince Stark. Hey, by the way, how you doing, brother? Thank you for calling in and hanging out tonight, man.
Hey, no problem, man. Y'all doing all right?
I'm good.
Yeah, we're doing pretty good. What the hell? Hey... Why don't you tell everybody a little bit about your company while I try to fix this problem real quick?
All right, I got you. Well, we're Aggressive MMA Clothing. We're based out of Kennesaw, Georgia. We got fighters from Georgia to Oregon, constantly expanding sponsorships for fighters, pro and amateur. We've been around for about a year now. We can get anything from T-shirts to custom hats, for many styles. We're working on getting gloves, shin guard, rash guards, some wicked shorts. My cousin and I, we've been deciding these shorts. We're pretty sure we picked out the one we want. We're about to run it. Other than that, we're just pretty much like Tap Out Affliction or Venom.
Hell yeah. You know, Vince should be calling in any second, folks. We're getting this figured out, but, you know, folks out there know you're not just a clothing owner, you're a fighter as well.
Oh, yes, man. And I'm all in MMA. Everything I can get my hands on, mixed martial arts wise, I'm in it.
That's what we love. That's why you make a great sponsor for this show. You know, your last outing didn't go the way you want. I know you looked great at weigh-ins and everything. You got something lined up in, here coming up in the future to get that bounce back?
I'm trying to fight in December. If not, I'm going to fight in January. I thought I was going to be able to fight in November, but the guy I was trying to fight backed out due to an injury. So I just got to wait it out now.
Say what you gotta say.
I was saying it just gives me a little bit more time to train and prepare. Everything's a blessing right now. So.
Hey, that's what it's all about, man. I tell you what, folks, hopefully here soon you'll be able to get his gear at the Shop Madhouse store. And, Jeff, are you still on here with me?
Yeah, of course.
Hey, can you go to the link for the show and see if there's no Skype button for you? I just pulled it up. Here, I'll send it to you right now. I just pulled it up, and I saw a Skype button for me, okay. But Ben's saying he's having a tough time because it's not showing up.
Okay. Right.
And I don't know what the Skype name is for the show because it's just a button you hit. But either way, I tell you what, folks, so far, Bama USA been fucking killing it, dude, straight up. Watched some good events. I watched some O'Plot this morning from Russia. You guys know how I am about that shit. I love it. Actually, I've been caught a couple events that I've been – anybody out there – dude, we watched John Hackelman Jr. make his pro debut tonight. And it was – dude, he looked good. Dude, you're talking about coming to a corner with Chuck Liddell – and Hackelman in your corner, that's pretty intimidating.
No kidding. Yeah, it's there. The Skype button's there.
Okay. I just sent him another link. I'm going to give him the phone number, too. Let's see if this will help. But, he called in last time. It sucks. You're going to love this cat, the matchmaker for Dare Fight Sports in Bangkok, bro. They're doing $1 million tournament. It's $125,000 for each weight class. And their events are the sickest events on the planet, bro. I don't know, Andrew, have you ever seen Dare?
I believe so.
Well, hold on. Let's quit screwing around. We have the one and only... the Hebrew Hammer himself, Ben Stark, live from Bangkok. Oh, we just lost him. What? Oh, we had him. Shit, he was there. We had you, bro. We had you. Shit. He just wants two entrances. That's cool. But either way, he got through, so hopefully he can get through again. The Hebrew Hammer himself, Ben Stark, man. Great guy, dude, but this dude, I mean, he matched some ridiculously sick fucking fights up at Dare, Rebels of MMA there in Bangkok, 2 weeks ago now? Yeah, I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of that show, that organization, everything. What's he saying? Just went dead.
He's going to call back, right?
Yeah, call back. You guys are hearing us break it down live. This is how we fucking do it, man. We'll make this work. He just got knocked out. Oh, it's over. He just got knocked the fuck out.
Who are you watching fighting?
We're watching, I'm watching Trace Gray versus Weatherspoon.
Oh, man.
Hold on. Here we go. Ben, we got you?
You got me, son.
Fuck yeah. The one and only Ben Stark, live from Bangkok on the Rogue Show. Man, brother, it's good to hear from you. Oh, what the hell? We had him. OK, Okay, we're getting closer and closer.
You need Carl? You need Carl's help?
What the hell? We had him. Shit. Okay, we're going to keep waiting him out. By the way, Trace just got knocked out vicious-like.
Yeah, it was a joke, man.
Okay, he's going to try one more time. Hold on. Let's see. Okay, Ben, we got you this time. You're here.
Yeah, your Skype has AIDS, okay?
I think it does. Some, yeah, dude, I don't know what is going on. He was, you were saying you couldn't even find the button on the call.
Well, what happened, the first website I loaded, it wasn't there. And then Skippy sent me another link, and it was that one. So it's like, whatevs, bruh, whatevs.
Dude. Dare went down. Amazing night. They're talking about the best event of 2013.
That's right. I told you when I caught up, we did not come to fuck around, all right? Dare is a world-changing event, sir. We're on the level. One show, our comeback show, and we have a guaranteed Fight of the Year contender in Asia and another Fight of the Year contender worldwide. We didn't come here touching dicks and playing with kitty cats, right? We brought the pain.
And you guys did, let's be honest. Your matchmaking was ridiculous. I mean, fights. Go ahead.
I can only take partial credit for that, honestly. as I said, I only came on a matchmaker about a month and a half, 2 months out from the show. CEO Yossi did the magic of the early on matchmaking with myself just making, you know, team play suggestions. So the card was everything I could have hoped for in a Dare card, honestly. It was my first Dare event, and it was clearer than I anticipated. Like, I'll be honest with you guys. I've probably seen 10,000 fights. I've cornered a few hundred. I've seen a shit ton live. It was by far the best fight show I've ever been to. And that's not just because I'm involved in it and I think I'm awesome, but in all honesty, like, the show was legit as fuck, and I was very, very happy to have been involved.
I gotta say, I mean, nobody could. First of all, I think, like, everybody pretty much missed about 50% on Tapology on picking these fights.
Yeah.
A lot of the fights didn't go the way people assumed, including me, and when we talked to you fight morning, you know, we even changed some of our picks, you know, by what we felt you, the inside info you'd given us. And I mean, like, I tell you what, they're just amazing fight, and a big shout out to the Joe Ray, man. For real. What a
man. That fight was a fucking crazy. That shit was ridiculous.
Now,
I was in the commentary box, like, screaming and running. When you hear the commentary, because as a bonus for you guys, one of the bosses told me he'd give me live event cut. So, like, all 3 hours, all seven fights in one cut to kind of, like, put out. So you might not have to wait for the TV show to air individually, being that the TV show is only going to air at the moment in China and Thailand. So he might give me a fight cut to kind of put out on the net for the U.S. fans.
Dude, now see, that's sick. I would be all over that like crack. Cause, dude,
how many people are giving away pay-per-view quality fucking fights for free on the internet for download? Just so the world audience can tune in. Not many.
No. And I tell you what, I heard Oli came in, and I've seen the pictures. I can't imagine watching that fight between the pictures and the post-fight pictures. first of all, it looked like it was just a ridiculous war, but Ole's hand.
Holy shit.
What the fuck? How big was his? I mean, his hand looked like three grown man hands.
Well, as it turns out, Ole was like so caught up in the moment in the back. He was like, I'm not going to wrap my hands. I'm going to war with this motherfucker. And he just taped his wrists and went in there, no wrap. For personal opinion, as a professional myself, I would strongly suggest never doing that. Wrap your goddamn hand.
Is it true he didn't break his hand?
No, apparently he just sprained it pretty bad and just gave it a good banging. And he thumped the fuck out of Joe Ray with that hand.
You know, I was kind of giving friends updates, and word spread, and there's a guy in the Midwest that he had fought, and homeboy hit me up, and he said, I beat him 2 years ago, 3 years ago, something like that. He goes, I want a piece of him. If he really put on one of the fights of the year, I can go over there and beat him. And I was like, dude, that's a tall motherfucking order. If you didn't see
Joe Ray
him, Joe Ray. He thinks, you know, 2 years later he can still beat him. I think Joe Ray proved that night, you're not going to finish this cat. I mean, he is a beast.
Man, there's only been three people that have finished or that beat Joe Ray. I'm pretty sure none of them finished him.
No, I think they were all decisions.
I'm pretty sure they were all decisions. So unless homeboy took a big step up in the game, which Joe Ray has, I don't see that happening.
Okay, another vicious fight, beautiful ending. How sick was that that Ronan Creepy Chris fight, Pearson?
That shit was pretty ridiculous. It was pretty, pretty ridiculous. Like, I didn't realize the size difference between the two until I saw them in the ring. Because even when they weighed in, they weren't, like, really super close to each other. But Chris Pearson is fucking big. And Shane Wiggin, all the props in the world to him, is still 39. You know? You can only push on so far. But that was a hell of a fight as well. Very, very aggressive on both sides. Like, if they were standing, they were throwing. No one was feeling out anything.
So, when he got finished, because I haven't seen anything other than pictures and people's tweets and stuff, they say he was done. I mean, out, legitimately just done. How bad was
he
out?
He wasn't conscious, but he was definitely finished. Like, as the ref was jumping to stop it, he was actually tapping, which I noticed in one of the post fight videos. So
he was
done either way. Yeah, but he took a lot of thumps. I talked afterwards. He was not in a good spot. Like nothing was broken or anything, but he was not feeling well.
Okay. Let's talk big boys.
Locomotive versus the Swamp. Moises Rimbaud, firstly, as I said last time, came in at 90 kilos, okay? His opponent came in at like 118. So we're talking about, what is that, a 28-kilo disparity. That means it's about 60 pounds. 60 pounds heavier. Okay? Would you go and voluntarily fight a guy 60 pounds heavier than you?
No. Not even. So you're telling me he could have probably actually made the 205 tournament.
He was under 205. He weighed in at 198. He could have made an 84-kilo tournament. And I remember interviewing, I was like, why the fuck are you fighting heavyweight if you're 90 kilos? And he goes, that's the fight they offered to me. That's it. That's the only explanation. That's the fight they offered to me. Like, you could say, hey, man, I'm only 90 kilos. My sure dog is, like, not up to date. You're like, meh, whatever. That was it. That was it. What a... The balls on that man are gigantic.
Well, and let's be honest. That fight, he showed for a guy his size, he has heavyweight power.
Oh, dude, he has crazy power. He played with the dude. Like, the locomotive came in hard. And as hard as a 260-pound guy with four fights will. You know, the guy finished all his previous opponents in the first round. So I guess he figured he's going to do the same thing to the much smaller opponent in Rimbon. And he rushed forward with these giant, like you've seen a guy in a movie pull his hand all the way back and then throw the punch. That's
yeah.
How he was punching. Now, granted, they're easy to see. But if one of those fuckers lands on you, you're in a shitload of trouble. Moises, very experienced, just literally facial expression. He looked like he was drinking tea. Like, oh, I'm just meeting my mother for looking at crumpets. He didn't give a fuck. Okay? Dude, right before this huge shot, he just slips out the way. Locomotive puts him on the ropes. He has the over under. Eventually,
hey.
Rushes his locomotive off. It's just like this. Locomotive is pressure. And then Rimbaugh starts taking him apart.
Hey, did you do something different? Because you just started breaking up really bad there.
No, sir. No, sir. I did not.
Okay. Yeah. You were getting real choppy there after you said he threw him against the ropes.
Am I clear now?
Yeah, now you sound clear.
All right. So, locomotive had been Rimbon up against the ropes. And Rimbon was just like super calm. He like, turned it, got pushed to the ropes, circled off, pushed out. After 2 minutes, 3 minutes, locomotive was done. He couldn't keep up the pace. And Rimbon just started picking him apart. Literally playing with him. So the Notre Dame mascot, the guy with his hands all up turned back, doing that Irish boxing stance.
Yeah.
Rimbon was doing that to him. And not even from far away, from like within distance. Like, as far away as Rimbon had his hands, he was touching Alexander in the face. And Alexander was just standing there. And he's going, come on, how about you? Huh, huh. And then just bang, 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 bang. And then, like, dance around. Like, really, really made Alexander look like his bitch.
Damn. I'm really excited to see this video. Oh, God, am I excited to see this video.
We'll get them, and they will be awe-inspiring.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I'm sorry, Ben. I don't know why my Skype has been screwing up on you so bad tonight. And you just, because last time it was perfect. You know, we had no problems.
Yeah.
But you can thank the American technology.
Yeah, America.
Now, obviously, you know, we're kicking off some of the rounds of the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
When do we see the next event? Is it in January?
January 25th, Bangkok, Thailand. Ultraviolet.
Will we see a countdown again?
Oh, for sure. Dare does the countdown. Not even a question.
Oh, they do it better than anybody. And here's the thing. It's funny. Every single day, I would download it when I first get up. My wife could tell you. I'd get up. First thing I'd do is go run in the shitter. I pull up Dare on my Facebook, go straight to the page. Boom.
Have a
share
quick
it.
Wank, right?
Yep. Start the day right. Get in there. Share it every day, 4 times in the morning.
Man, I saw. I was like, holy shit. Skippy's holding us down in America.
Hell yes. Dude, you have the... Dare is the best MMA organization on the fucking planet, whether you're on the show or not. I've said it. I've said it since, first of all, before you guys ever even started the Underground, I said it was the best event going. Underground drops, Boom. Most fucking dangerous game show in the world, folks. You ain't seen the first 6 episodes. Something's fucking wrong. And then you guys come out with this whole new push. You're going to take over. You're sick and tired of the bullshit, the whiners, the guys who want to go fight for this organization and this. Fuck it. You filled those spots quick as shit and proved to the world you have the best organization running today.
It's true. Hey, if you don't want to fight for DARE, that's fine. Go fight where you want to fight. It's cool. We're going to hold down Asia. We're going to take over. And then we're going to just start spreading like a fungus, man. We're gonna cover the globe like mushrooms.
That's what I'm talking about. And here's the thing is, you know, since we've had you on the show, so many people have been like, what's up? Is this legit? I'm like, dude, most legit time of your life you go over there. Who doesn't want a shot at a title belt that says DARE Fight Sports along with a $125,000 paycheck?
I want $125,000. I want a shiny belt. I want all the fame notoriety that comes with it. I want to go to the grocery store with my title belt on. I'm going to go on Rampage. You remember when Rampage won the belt? And they see him in the grocery store with his belt on, take shit with his belt on, he's fucking with his belt on. That's what I want to do.
Now, speaking of Rampage and shit, what's the word and the feeling in Bangkok in the MMA community and about Tito Ortiz's timely injury when ticket sales are so low and pay-per-view numbers are down?
Say again?
What do you think about this whole Tito Ortiz getting injured shit? Do you think, what's everybody over there think? I know what American fans think.
I didn't even hear about it. Honestly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, they've sold, out of like a 20,000-seat venue, they've sold like literally 1,800 tickets. And so all of a sudden, it got announced today that Tito Ortiz has an injury, so the pay-per-view's off.
Yeah. These kind of things happen, I guess. I mean, it could be said that, hey, we're not fucking selling, so we're going to kind of, you know, get rid of this. Personally, I think it's very difficult to have a free weekly product and then be like, oh, but this one product, which is exactly the same, you got to pay for.
I agree.
You know what I'm saying?
I agree.
If you look at pro wrestling in that model, like pro wrestling has 3 or whatever weekly shows, and they have pay-per-views, but their pay-per-views are themed. They're drastically different. You know, it's Hell in the Cell, it's Extreme Combat, it's Fire Match. MMA doesn't have the gimmick shit, you know? So, you have fights. And then you have fights.
Well,
and then you have fights. So this one's free, and this one's free, but that one you got to pay for. I'm not going to wait for the free weekly product.
Well, I agree, but I'll tell you right now, I don't know about the fans listening around the world tonight, but whatever wrestling you're watching that has fire matches, send me a fucking link.
Man, you're missing out, sir. I want you to go on the Google and type in FMW Best of Extreme Deathmatch. In Japan, pro wrestling is not a joke, sir. Not a joke, okay? The guy who there's a match that's an exploding ring cage match, okay? And the basic rule is you have 20 minutes to pin your opponent or the entire thing blows up.
Oh, that's fucking killer. Dude,
I watched a match. Okay, Terry Funk was really big in these back in the day. Check this out. You have your ring, right? There's no ropes, okay? Two sides of the ring have barbed wire, right? That barbed wire is electrified, okay? The other two sides of the ring have no ropes. But if you fall off, there's like punji sticks sticking up with barbed wire draped over it. So if you fall, you basically fall into a pit of barbed wire. Now, When you hit the ground, there's a contact mine and it explodes.
What?
Yeah.
No shit.
I watched a match with do you remember the headhunters, the really big fat black guys?
Yeah.
Okay, they had a match against one another. Now, in the four corners of the ring were the ring ropes, like normal, wrapped in barbed wire. In two of the corners were giant panes of glass. In the other two corners, there was a knife and a small sickle. Outside of the ring were like 8 to 10 inch deep boxes, right? So there's one box on each side, about 6 feet long, 10 inches deep, with panes of glass in them. And next to those were 6 foot long pieces of
barbed wire. Okay, next to the boxes, and then you shut out. So you said next to the 6 foot
okay.
long boxes, there was what?
Okay. So next to the boxes, panes were 6 foot boards of wood wrapped in barbed wire.
Oh, shit.
There were other matches I've seen from Japan where they had giant, like, 200.
Shit, Ben. I don't know what's happening. You broke up real bad again. Did I lose him? Are you there?
I'm here, sir.
Oh, cool. Okay. I don't know what the hell, why Blog Talk is being such an asshole to you tonight, but I'm definitely enjoying this shit. So, with wrestling over there, I mean, these guys sound like rock stars.
In Japan, at least a couple years back, now, you know, wrestling is kind of swooping up and down. You wrestled in Japan.
Shit. Folks, it says he's live, but we're not hearing him.
You can't hear me at all?
Okay. I can hear you now.
Good. God damn it.
Yeah, I can't tell you what is going on. I mean, like, I called in on my Skype. I got somebody else calling in, you know, so I don't know why it's messing up with you.
Yeah, shit happens.
Holy shit.
It's because I'm not in America and they're being racist.
Well, that was clear for them to hear. I appreciate that one. So, what time is it over there right now? You're still early in the morning, right?
It is 12:40 in the afternoon.
Oh, so how's the weather today?
Beautiful. Very much beautiful. Like my apartment overlooks I believe it's the Chao Phraya River, which is like a pretty major river in Thailand. So I get to watch boats, little ferries go down the river. Like twice a week, there's a fireworks show from the Sheraton or the Buddhist temple across the river. I can see pretty much clear across the entire city. Bangkok's nice, baby. Bangkok's nice. I live good over here.
Well, trust me, we're trying to work it out to where Madhouse can cover an event in Bangkok at Dare, because we definitely want to get over there and expose even more people to the product you guys are putting out, man. I love it, dude. No bullshit. You guys sell it. You guys put on great fucking fights. That's all fans can ask for.
We give fans everything they can handle 3 hours at a time. A Dare event is not just a fight show. A Dare event is a life-changing experience. Okay? I didn't know how they were going to do the show until I was at the show. So I was just as taken back as the crowd. Okay? I had nothing to do with the planning of lights and music, but, like, okay, in Dare, unless they like your nickname, they pick your nickname. You don't pick music. You can make a suggestion, they pick your music. They have an exact idea, theme, their show. Everyone plays along, or they don't play.
Easy squeezy,
obviously,
and it's a paycheck.
You care about anything other than fighting. Everything's taken care of for you.
Dude, I you don't got to convince me, man. Hello? I fucking hate blog talk!
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I don't fucking get it. Hold on 1 second, Ben. 985, who do we got?
Hey, what's happening, man? This is MMA Beatdown.
Hey, what's up, killer? You're on live with Ben Stark from Dare MMA in Bangkok. We're having a little trouble with Skype tonight because it's fucking up, but we're just going over the card, brother. Welcome to the Rogue Show. Ben, this is a good friend of mine. Somebody I definitely make sure gets your contact info to help spread the word about Dare. MMA cool. Beatdown is in the house.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it. What's going on? Man, he's cutting out. I can't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, I know. It's killing me tonight, man. Yeah, last time he was perfectly clear for 2 fucking hours straight. Not a fucking beat.
Damn.
And now I'm having trouble. And Ben's, he's sending us a message. Fuck it, he's out. Let's try it next time. Brother, everybody follow the Hebrew Hammer on Twitter. You guys, it's Ben Stark, HH. Follow Dare Fight Sports. You guys can find them anywhere. Man, Ben, I always love having you on, brother. The best MMA in the world is in fucking Bangkok today. You guys got to check that shit out. Go to Dare Fight Sports. Go to MMAMadhouse.com. We've got links, info, everything under Dare Fight Sports there. Ben, much love, brother. I appreciate you joining us. Beatdown's in the house. What did you watch
tonight, brother? I'm fixing to catch up on it, but I'm going to be honest with you. I didn't watch Bellator tonight. I stayed off the internet tonight like a good guy, man. I went to see a movie. Yeah. It's one of them days, man. I didn't catch up on it. I mean, I'm fixing to catch up, man. I was hoping that you wouldn't even ask me about Bellator tonight, man.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will tell you because probably a lot of people out there didn't get a chance to watch it, but that was shit. Ashley Cummins fought Michelle Gutierrez tonight. And, dude, slapped an armbar on her in, like, literally, like, 40 seconds, tried two flying armbars, got the second one, got up and got in her face and was like, what, bitch, I own you. It was insane. It was a great fight, dude, but, oh, bro, there's been some vicious
nice.
Fights. Dude,
nice.
Bam,
give me something to look forward to, man.
Oh, you definitely, John Hackelman Jr., Hackelman's son, who trains Liddell and all them, his son made a really good showing for his debut.
Damn. Yeah, I was getting ready to catch up, man. I just, I figured I'd call into the show and see what was going on, man. I can hear every other word, but, shit, I'm glad I called in, man.
We had somebody
what
at,
y'all think about it?
Go ahead.
No, what do y'all think about what's going on with Tito and Rampage, man? We get a free card.
Let's fucking talk about that shit, okay? I just talked to Ben about it because Bangkok, you know, I was trying to find out what their feeling is on it. I'm telling you right now, low ticket sales and projected very low pay-per-view sales has caused Tito to get a mysterious injury basically a week out from the fight, and they're switching it over. Now, folks, anybody out there who don't want to fucking believe this or not, I don't really care. What I'm telling you is the big picture here, and the more fucking important issue is, what does this do to Eddie Alvarez? What do you think of it?
Pretty good, man. I've been waiting on a rematch anyway. I'm looking forward to it. I'm glad it's brief. I would have still paid for it anyway, you know?
Now, That's an issue. I think that was the sellable fight on the whole card, to be honest. That was the main event. It should have been.
Yeah.
Was it now?
If you look at my fan page, I fixed up Bellator's card for the way it should have been. I put Alvarez and on top, you know, and I put on the card as you know, Rampage and Tito. That's how I've seen it too. You know, I mean, I didn't see them as a main event. I mean, I don't think Bellator actually needs. I don't think they really need Tito and Rampage to sell tickets. You know, I mean, hell, they were doing just great on their own. I mean, that's how I feel. You know, so.
Well, I agree.
They need to start concentrate on their own stars instead of worrying about, you know, getting washed up stars. Man, they have stars. They just gotta, I don't know, let them be known to who people, you know, let people know who they are. They have up-and-coming stars right now. I mean, I know Bellator gets a lot of, I'll be honest, bullshit, because, you know, I mean, it's nothing compared to the fighters in the UFC, back and forth and all this stuff, but, man, you know what, that's a pretty good stepping stone right there. I hate to say it like that, but that's what it is, and that's how it is, you know.
Hey,
so they ought to concentrate on the guys, they concentrate on the guys that they have, you know, make them some stars.
Ooh.
Hey, I will tell you what, I want to add one more guy to the party. It looks like we've got sports manager Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management and Marketing. How are you doing, brother? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's up, fellas, man? How are y'all tonight?
Good. You're on with MMA Beatdown. You're on with Clint, and obviously, you know me, motherfucker. So introducing you to Beatdown, great guy to know, good website. Love following him. He gives me all my good news that I don't get anywhere else.
Thank you, man. Shit. Appreciate it.
Well, yeah, shit, dude. I see enough of the same dribble, and like you're talking about the Bellator card. You know, you had no problem going out there and posting the way you felt that card should have listed. And I like that. A lot of people in the drones and the masses are like, yes, sir. And you're not. You put up a lot of great questions, especially when it comes to Zuffa and Bellator organization. You know, questions for fans for you to get their opinions on, but and it's interesting to see some of the people argue, you know, over shit. I love it.
I try. Well, you know, that's how it started out for me. I mean, I was I was tired of being that guy sitting at Hooters and Buffalo Wild Wings, and man, people would say, man, who the fuck is this guy? You know, and that would piss me off more than anything. You know, man, this piece of guy is the guy that fought in your hometown, you know, and you don't even know who he is. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's sad. I mean, I like to give the new guys, some up-and-comers and stuff like that, some credit, you know, where when they do get to the big screen, people at least know who they are, you know. And that's all it was, man. And people always saying, I didn't even know they had a fight on the night. How the hell you didn't know how to? If you're a fight fan and you don't know they had a fight this today, you know, and I don't know. I don't think you're really a fight fan if you don't keep up, you know. So that's all I try to do, to provide people where they don't make an ass out of themselves.
Hey, I 100% agree, man. You know, I'm the same way, man. It started one day. You know, I just got sick of reading stupid shit and people not understanding what the sport's about and how much is really going on around you, that there's, you know, a lot going on and a lot of great stories and a lot of great people. So it was just an instant, you know, passion, but it grew so quick, and I've never looked back. And I tell you what, I think some of the MMA today that you're seeing at regional and semi-regional levels, maybe mid-tier organizations, is some of the best MMA folks can see going today.
That's right. And I try to make every show, man. If I see a show, somebody sends me an invite, and it's even doable, I try to make the fight. Especially if you send me an invitation, I'm there. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, you give me your time, I'll get, you know, I'll go to your fight. I mean, I'll catch every fight I can. So, say, I mean, I might be able to fly overseas, see UFC, but I am going to go see some fights on the Gulf Coast, so, which is pretty cool, you know. And I don't know, it's pretty cool, man, because the fighters and the promoters, man, they welcome me, you know. I mean, I get a lot of front row tickets, so that's pretty cool, too, you know.
But I'll be honest, you know, that's what it's all about, man. I would personally prefer to go to, like, Jason. He's got a lot of events down there in Florida that are rocking. Pro-Am, Ami, you know, all of it. I'd rather go.
It's pro or and. There's no pro and.
Oh, yeah.
Brother.
Well, there used to be.
Maybe a very long time ago, but as far as I've known, in the last almost 4 years that I've been doing
now,
this, I've never seen a pro-am show. Amateur used to be illegal in Florida until about a year and a half ago, something like that.
A year ago. Exactly.
Yeah,
right.
Everybody used to have to go to Georgia to go fight, or the Carolinas, or Louisiana.
And then they started where you had to wear the shin guards and knee pads.
The same rules in Georgia. They followed Georgia's rules.
Yeah. And now they have ground and pound and all that, correct?
After three fights, correct.
Yeah.
I just went to some in Pensacola, man. Pensacola's got some great shows. And I think somebody brought some shows to Panhandle, Destin, Florida.
Island Fights.
Yeah.
Probably
Island
Fights.
That's exactly right. The dude put on a good show, man.
Yeah, dude. He's been asking us to try.
I'm actually going to be with Dean Poole tomorrow night on the floor at World Series of Fighting.
You better tell my
Him and that heavyweight that he works with that made a name for himself pretty well up that way, Dylan Kleckler, and my group for the event tomorrow night. They're already there, and I'm meeting them tomorrow, actually, down in Miami.
Good, man. Tell him I said, hey, man, what's up? And I'll be in Biloxi tomorrow.
Biloxi's not a bad place either, brother. I went to the IP casino for Atlas Fights probably 3 years ago. Yeah,
right.
Great time at the casino.
Yep. I'm going to see Fight Federation. Used to be Blood and Sand. Now it's Fist and Fin.
Okay.
So pretty good shows, man.
Yeah, Russell, I don't know how you pronounce his last name.
Theron? And Ricky Theron?
No, it's, I know Russell Schnick or whatever. He's the matchmaker the Blood and Sand and all that, or whatever they call himself now.
Yeah. Yep, good shows, man.
There's a lot of good shows down there. Hey, Jason, tomorrow Matthew will be there covering it for Madhouse. If you see him, tell him what's up.
I'll make sure I tell him that Skippy said to go get his shine box.
Hey, just go up to him and be like, hey, dude, fuck that. Straight up, just go, dude, you're going to see him because he's either going to be rocking a Madhouse shirt or an Intimidation shirt.
I'll have Dylan. Built like a fucking shit brick house.
Hey, get Dylan to walk up to him and be like, hey, look, Skippy Cohen, I'm going to fuck you up.
I will get him to do it because he will do it. And I'll get Dean to walk up on him with me on the side after Dylan walked on him, so he sees three fucking 6 foot plus enormous guys.
Dude, walk up to him and just be like, hey, you're that Madhouse guy. When he goes, yeah, I'd be like, fuck you, Skippy. I told you I'd find you and whoop your ass. Dude, he'd be like, I'm not Skippy. Just be like, oh, yeah, you want to play that shit with me? You think we're stupid? Oh, shit. Dude, Matt never let me live that one down.
Here's something interesting to that. I mean, you might have already heard about it, and I'm just late getting through the news, but, like, you know that Janet Martin's no longer with Invicta now, right? I saw the shit trending on Twitter earlier.
I heard that.
And then, you know, I was just talking with somebody from Invicta, and actually they're going to call me tomorrow and kind of fill in the blanks for me. We didn't really say too much tonight, but I'm a little intrigued about this.
Well, let me start off.
Especially considering that I have an athlete that's contracted to them, so I need to figure out what's going on, you know?
Yeah,
one to find out this shit? No, I'm kidding.
Hey.
You need somebody to find out, you saying?
I'm kidding, man. I'm just being a smartass, bro, because here's the thing. Tonight, because, you know, East Coast time is actually technically Saturday. Tomorrow I'm going to be having some fun supporting my boy Redding House, making his World Series debut, and enjoying myself. But technically I should be out right now enjoying myself, but I just don't want to be hung over tomorrow because now I've officially become an old man. I'm fucking 34. Yeah. So.
Hey, by the way, big shout out to your boy Lee and Devison both winning at M1 and XFE.
It's going to be interesting things coming up for Lee, you know. Not to say too much, but it looks like they're going to work. what they proposed to me, that we were discussing the other day, is going to work out one way or the other, even with the time off because of the other commitment that he has.
So,
it's either going to be that person's going to, from what I'm being told, either then his next opponent might wait for him, or he might have to fight somebody, and then that winner of that fight will fight Lee.
Okay.
So Lee's next, either way it goes, Lee's pretty much his next fight's pretty much already wrapped up.
Dude, well, that was an impressive fight. Beat down. If you didn't see it, man, it's all over, dude. Lee Morrison out of the state of Washington went over to M1, man, and grabbed a victory in his debut over there this past weekend. It was a good fight, man. Really.
Did you guys see the new link that I posted where it shows the walkout? Fucking some Ivan Drago shit, man. When they rolled out the fucking that poster, the fans of his opponent, Mikhail Malouf. They literally rolled out a banner, bro, with a picture of him.
Yeah, but he was on there, too.
Lee wasn't on there. It was just
Mikhail. Yeah, they showed. No, there was one of each one of them.
No, it was Mikhail, bro, and some other guy, but it wasn't Lee.
Dude, I'm telling you. They showed Lee Morrison on a banner. Look at his wall. You know how many people were like, dude, where do we get one of those of you? You know, a bunch of people.
I have to watch it again, but I'm pretty confident that picture of Lee was not on that banner.
Watch it again. If I'm wrong, it doesn't matter. I'm not.
If you're wrong, you're going to tell the world on the next week's episode how much you love sucking the cock.
Hey, hold on a second. Hey, 509, who do we got?
He loves sucking the cock, don't you?
It's the referee himself, Hamlet. What's up, buddy?
Who's all on tonight?
Hold on, one more. 830, who do we got?
It's Texas Jeff, man.
Okay, we got Texas Jeff. We've got Hamlet, the baddest referee in the land. We've also got MMA Beatdown on with us, Clinch Custom Mouth Guards, and Jason Ellis. Everybody here knows pretty much everybody now. What the fuck, man? We're talking MMA. What are we going to talk? We're going to talk some Bellator? Are we talking UFC?
Oh, shit. I'm watching the Bellator, the main event right now. I haven't got to see it yet.
Oh, okay.
I didn't even watch it, so.
Well, the card was pretty good. There were some good fights on it.
One dude looked like he got hit in the head with a hatchet, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
We watched a fight earlier tonight. This guy was bleeding like a stuck pig from a leg kick to the head, man. It was ridiculous. But let's talk tomorrow's UFC card. Well, we got everybody here because I know some people got to have some fucking opinions on this shit. And well, let's start with the big boy itself, man. Machida and Mark Munoz. Who's winning this shit? Why, man? I think Machida personally wins it. And I think he wins it because of his hands.
Machida will make it a boring fight, and he'll win that way. You know what I mean? He's not going to get in there and
miss it. He's going to run.
Yeah.
He's not going to mix it up.
No.
He's going to run and try to point.
I gotta disagree, man. I think he's got something to prove. Then again, I said that about Phil Davis too. So fuck. What do I know?
I don't think Munoz will be able to utilize his wrestling too much because of Machida's footwork. He's gonna be a little more elusive, come in and out. You know what I mean? And score points and get out. I'm not gonna be watching the card. Like I said, I'm gonna be watching something else. So. I don't know. But it's still a great weekend for MMA. I mean, Friday night kicks off.
We're going to go to fucking World Series of Fighting talk after we talk a little bit about the UFC. I'm just curious. I got a
Hey, motherfucker, don't get mad just because you're stuck in some below zero conditions up in Oregon, because I know it's colder than balls up there.
Hey,
and you're not in sunny
it's not
Miami,
too bad here in the
Florida.
Northwest
Enjoy
yet.
Yourself.
It's not bad in the Northwest
Texas,
yet,
too. Sucks.
I got fire.
You know what, though? Like, right now it's cold for Florida, bro. Like, you guys would be probably fucking jumping in the ocean in your fucking baggies and fucking being playing in the pool water. For me, it's fucking cold because it's in the 60s, bro. Fuck that shit.
Jason, I don't know why, for a second, I'm cold. I got a grow room that's sitting 8 feet from me. You know how much heat that thing for? This shit keeps my studio at 70 degrees, bro. That's the great thing about living in the state I live in. People who are sick can get a card.
Yeah, you do sound like you're coming down with something, man. You might need some treatment a little bit.
You know what? I just got over it, man. I was sick for a fucking week, bro. Fucked up.
Yeah.
Last weekend, I was fucked up in a sweatsuit under a cover, sweating this shit out. And here and there, I think, you know, maybe I'm in completely gone or something. I don't know. But all I know is it's colder than balls out to me right now in Florida.
Well, that sucks for you. What sucks for everybody else is, who thinks Gallard's not getting knocked out?
Not everybody speaks up at once.
Who thinks he's not, or he is?
That he's going to get knocked the fuck out.
I'd love to see it. I've always liked Ross Pearson ever since. Well, I mean, I liked him on Tough, too, but when he fought Cole Miller, I was rooting for him in that fight, and it really sucked when he lost, and I've been rooting for him ever since then.
Well, let's be honest. You know, Gallard has an all right average ground game. It's nothing to write home to mama about, but he likes the brawl. He likes dirty.
He can't wear a turtleneck sweater for sure.
Dude, I wouldn't give him a blue belt, dude, not even.
Well, you know, Pearson's been on a pretty good tear of late with his hands. Plus, we know he's got the cardio to go deep, which we've seen Gallard have problems in the later rounds with it. I think Gallard loses this fight, and I honestly think he's going to try to stand and bang and get caught.
Honestly, I think it can go either way. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree Gallard with that. I think it could go either way.
You see how Gallard gets when he gets cocky, though. I mean, that Lozon fight, I'll never get that out of my mind, and I will never put money on Melvin Gallard ever again after that Lozon fight. I mean, I didn't put money on Gallard that fight, but my friend put money on Lozon just in a long shot, and I was like, I don't know, man. He asked me if I wanted to go in with him on it, and I was like, no, probably not. And then 30 seconds later, I was texting him like, fuck, why didn't I?
It really depends on which Melvin shows up. You know, the one that wants his job or the one that just thinks he's too good for the UFC all of a sudden, you know?
Yeah.
Valid point. I mean, look, we've got a couple of guys on the show tonight, including Hamlet, who have had to deal with guys, whether it's business coaching, that have made it into the upper levels of some of the biggest organizations in the country. And, or, you know, you guys are all, we all know them. We've all talked to them, but there's certain guys out there who get that mentality once they get to the big show that they are just that fucking good.
Oh, absolutely.
What do you guys think about Gallard's performance against Mack Danzig? I know he got a big win, and I know it was pretty brutal, but what do you guys think about it before the knockout? Because I really wasn't too impressed with it. I mean, the performance as a whole. I mean, he was standing with Mack Danzig, and it seemed like he was having a hard time getting off.
See, I think, and this is going to sound kind of fucked up to say, but I think Gallard's like the new generation Crazy Horse. He just shows up and wants to fucking fight, and he don't give a shit about anything else. He is walking 10 foot tall and bulletproof every day of his life. He thinks he's the coolest thing since fucking sliced bread, and he has his moment, and that makes it even worse.
Yeah, I heard that he was fighting for his sister needed some money for a surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that gave him a purpose.
Yeah.
So maybe so. You know, maybe the right Melvin will show up, the one that deserves to be there shows up, you know?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie and say that I'm not a fan of Gallard. I am, but I'm just, it's hard to consistently root for him, especially, I mean, I don't know, I think he's his own worst enemy. I mean, how many camps has he been to in the past 6 months?
Right.
But you never know, man. I don't know.
See, you know,
where I'm from, he lives here, so I'm not saying anything.
I think I'm safe over here in Texas, so I'm going to say whatever, I guess.
Yeah, you're good there.
Okay, cool.
You know, and it's sad to say, but that's probably the two biggest names on this fight, maybe best names on the card, but I don't believe it's going to be the best fight. I'm kind of concerned about
that's the co-main event, right?
Yeah, that's the co-main.
Hey, Skippy, we were right about last week, though, about Diego and Gilbert, though, huh? That was definitely going to be fight of the night.
No,
that was fight of the night.
Shut up. That was sparring match of the night with 1 minute and 18 seconds of good.
Oh, I don't know, man.
No.
Oh,
Gilbert, I'm not going to say it was the best fight ever, like
Gilbert
Joe Rogan, but it was a pretty good fight, man.
Gilbert could have fought like Carlos did against Diaz, dude, easily. He was winning that fight easily, and he chose not to. He stood.
Yeah, you got to respect that, man.
Dude,
yeah, that was fight of the night.
Okay, I might be able to give you fight of the night for that one event, but that ain't no way in hell is that candidate for fight of the year. No way.
No, no, I wouldn't say fight of the year. I'd say fight of that night, though.
Oh.
But you don't think that was a replay of the BJ Penn fight?
Oh, fight of the year is probably coming up next weekend when Chandler and Alvarez go at it again, man.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, that is good.
Who do you got, Hamlet? I guess you don't want to answer. Hamlet.
Here's going to be Brooke Sharon Ford for the year.
Hamlet, who do you got in that fight? In the Chandler
fight. Which one?
In the Chandler fight.
I think Chandler has gotten too good, honestly, man. He really has. He's gotten – I'm a huge – I was there when Eddie Alvarez fought his first fight up in Atlantic City, and they put him first fight of the night, and as soon as he was done, about 250-plus people left after they all had those little yellow shirts on, man. So he I've been around watching him fight through all the Atlantic City shows and stuff, man. That dude is bad, but Chandler's nasty, you know?
Okay, but let's be honest, folks. We're talking, what, an over a year layoff, right? Like a 12-month layoff, 14-month layoff?
Yeah, something like that.
Friends, and Chandler has been completely active. How much is that going to hurt him? And look, you guys, Jeff and Hamlet, you guys definitely can talk to that.
It just matters. You got to remember, Eddie comes from a real good gym where they bang it. I mean, it just – everybody's different.
Yeah, but can you tell me – look, I know you run a hardcore gym, but can you really honestly tell me that you in training, especially fight camp, are putting it on as hard as you would in a fight?
It just matters. I mean, everybody's different, man. I'll tell you that. You see some guys take a long time off and it doesn't bother them at all, man. And then you got guys that are off for 6 months, bro.
Yeah, Tony Ferguson was out for, 16 months, 14 months?
Yeah, that arm injury or something, right?
Yeah, he had to get a plate and screws put in his arm, man. And he came back and, man.
Yeah. That's
and
true.
Plus, there's something to think about. But
he wasn't sitting on the couch. He was waiting on his next fight. I mean, he was with one leg work, and he was standing. Man, what people say about shelf life, I don't believe in the ring rust. I really don't, man. But not unless the dude sit on his ass on the couch. You know, but them dudes are working, man. Maybe no contact, but they still keep up their cardio. They stay in shape. They're not, you know. They're not pulling a rampage, you know.
I believe completely Alvarez was probably training for a UFC fight for the first 9 months and then might have slowed up a little bit when he saw things stalling out. But I don't believe he stepped that far away. I'm just curious, you know, Hamlet, you know, you make a valid point. We've watched Chandler in the last year and a half get ridiculously fucking better.
Well, that caveman dude that he took out is no – I mean,
That was brutal.
He's no joke. Yeah, and he and he's not even using Chandler's not even using his wrestling anymore, man. He's using his hands.
It was the way he beat that guy too, man. Like, but there's something also I think to say a man with his back against the wall, and that's how I see Eddie Alvarez. You know, like he and I don't know. I'm a fan of him. I like Michael. I don't see how you can't like Michael Chandler though too. He's
But let's be honest.
I don't know that.
Dude, he's taking out a judo guy in Holland. He's taking out just an all-around badass in Rickles. You know, he's already beat Eddie once. You know, he's cleaned up. I mean, he, you know, let's be honest. He in that decision win over Lloyd Woodard, he kind of schooled, you know, Lloyd from bell to bell. I mean, he's been on such a roll for the last, you know, year and a half, 2 years, a vicious roll, man. And I think Alvarez gets finished pretty fucking early.
What if Alvarez did every time somebody beats him, though, he comes back and revenges that loss, though. He's got a history of that, too.
Hey, okay.
Fair.
I love the fight. I'm excited to watch that one, man.
I think it's going to be a good fight for three rounds, but
you're not going to see the bell. I don't
see
a
three rounds.
I don't think you'll see a five-round bell.
I think it ends in the third. And I think it's a TKO for Chandler. I think he gets him down, beats him up against the fence, gets him wobbly, and the ref has to jump in and stop him.
It ended in the fourth round, right?
Eddie always hits the floor. He always does. He has conversations with the refs in the back because he always has. He gets dropped, but he recovers so fast. He's dangerous when he recovers, too.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, remember his fight with Kawajiri that he had over there in Japan?
Yeah.
Eddie?
He got dropped in the first round, I think.
Yeah. He gets dropped every single time, man.
Yeah, he gets dropped a lot, but, yeah, that fight, I mean, like, it seemed like when he was fighting Chandler, I think it was the third round, it's been a while since I've seen that fight. I've only seen it, like, two or three times, but he was coming back in that third round, it seemed like. You know, and that's just how he fights. You know, he gets dropped and he comes back strong.
Hey, and you know what? Maybe I should rethink my overall master plan on picking this fight because I just pulled up their records, and since the last time they fought, Eddie Alvarez has 7 minutes and 12 seconds or 11 seconds in the cage. Fucking Chandler's got just under 5 minutes. So in the same amount of time. So, you know, I guess really, you know... The fact that one guy had all that time up front versus one guy had it stretched out, I don't know if it's really going to truly make that much of a difference.
I don't know, man. I'm trying not to, like, put an expectation for the fight. Like, I was worried about the Melendez and Sanchez fight. I was like, I don't want to put expectations on it, and it's not – because, you know, 90% of the time they don't meet your expectations. And I was like, man, and that ended up being a good fight. So I'm trying, like – I don't know. I just want to see a good fight.
I think we'll see.
But I don't see these two. I think it's impossible for them to be in a bad fight.
Oh,
okay.
No, that's not going to be boring. It may be early.
No.
It may be early, but it can be boring.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gonna be violent. It's what it's gonna be.
Let's talk about one of the regulars on the show, Chris Gregory from MMA Topics. His favorite name to drop, his personal friend and chauffeur that he is King Mo. He's got a rematch against Emmanuel Newton. Does anybody here think that fight is going to, A, be exciting, or B, come out any different?
Now, if King Mo comes out trying to be a boxer again, he could, you know, you just don't know. I don't,
Mo could be a boxer. He just can't keep his hands down, man.
Well, you can't kick. People have habits, good and bad, and that's just one of his habits.
Yeah.
Does anybody here wonder why he got away from his fucking wrestling base?
Trying to be exciting. Or trying to be a showman like he is outside the cage.
He was training with the Mayweathers or something, wasn't he? With
I just don't get it. Like, back in the day when he was in Strikeforce, he was such a great fighter. He brought it. He performed well. And then he just started falling apart there, man. And, like, I think he got big cockitis, and it's ruined him.
Is that a actual medical term? Or?
Yeah, I found that right next to anal glaucoma definition. I won't see my ass working.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I know this show likes to be real technical, so I was just making sure it wasn't falling off its roof.
Hey, did you guys see who put their name in the hat to fight Rampage when Tito pulled out?
Neil Grove? Is that who you're talking about?
No, Tyrone Spong.
Tyrone Spong
says, I'll fight him.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on Twitter. Neil Grove made a Facebook thing, too, though. I don't know.
Rampage don't want none of Tyrone Spong. That's the best striker in the world.
He don't want – dude, he ain't even – he's never – when he was juiced and having rigged fights in the Pride days, he couldn't have won this fucking fight. I don't give a shit.
Okay, Kale.
That motherfucker never would have – dude, if I'm telling you right now, Vegas would make him a 19-1 underdog off the bat.
Make Rampage an underdog?
Fuck yes. Rampage couldn't hold fucking Spong's jockstrap on his best day in his career.
But he might be able to hold Spong down.
No, Spong won't let it happen. Sprung's way too fast. His footwork is some of the best.
Sprung's last fight was very lackluster, man. He fought a guy that he was supposed to just run through.
And you know what?
Martinez or something? No, not Martinez. I don't remember.
Dude, that wasn't even a close fight in any way, shape, or form.
He couldn't put him away, is my point. The kid hung in there, man.
And he tagged him a couple times, too.
Hey, I'm not going to say that kid. We're talking about Rampage, a guy who already has a suspect chin, a guy who got picked apart by
Rampage could take Sprung down.
Dude, I think Sprung fucking beats him because Rampage is too stupid. He likes to stand and fight. He thinks he's the best man striking. He would try to outstrike him and lose.
He would. He wanted to box Roy Jones Jr. That's retarded.
And he couldn't even outbox Forrest Griffin. And here's the thing is, folks. Rampage
beat the Iceman back in the day when the Iceman was still in his car during with his head.
Look, Rampage,
when I was down in Florida, I used to be stationed down in Florida in Panama City, and I ran into Ray Jones Jr. around there. We were hammered one night. I'm like, yeah, I don't like you. He's down in Pensacola. I don't really like you. He's like, why not? You beat my favorite boxer. He goes, who's that? I go, James Toney. He goes, ah, he's a pussy. That was his response.
I love James Toney, man. I like Rose,
oh, man.
I love James Toney, man.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You guys want to know one of the things? It's really random, but one of the things that got my friend Mike in the MMA, when Randy Couture was going to fight James Toney, and I was watching that, like, one of James Toney's interviews with Ariel Helwani, and my friend was asking me what I was doing or whatever on MSN or some shit, and I sent him the link to the YouTube video where James Toney's, like, has that Randy Couture doll and stuff like that, and ever since then, my friend's been into MMA. And after that, he was telling me all, like, James – he was showing me James Toney highlights and everything. It's crazy, man.
Hey, different – everybody gets turned up. Look, dude, the first time I watched a Thai fight, man, I was hooked.
Mm-hmm.
I know the first time Lapaki wrestled with his coach, he sat in the cabin with some bourbon one weekend, he was hooked.
How's he been doing? Is he all right? I haven't talked to him in a couple weeks.
Well, about 10 minutes ago, he posted his predictions for Fight Night 30.
Hey, that guy, I forget what event it was. I think it was last week. He had either 11 or all 12 fights right. And most of them were in the right round and everything.
He was sitting here with me. We were trimming the harvest and hanging out in the studio after the fight. And he kept getting super excited. He's like, I'm 8 in a row, motherfucker. I'm 9 in a row, bitch. Fuck, I got 10. And then he's like, oh, that motherfucker's just got to win. And the guy, the very last fight cost him because his fight finished in the wrong round.
Yeah, you're talking about last week?
Yeah.
I saw he posted his picks or something.
Dude, it's crazy. That motherfucker's picked like 6,000 fights on there. And he's got like an 85% fucking win ratio.
I've never really bet on MMA too much because I just like to enjoy it for what it is. But if I ever did, I would ask Lapati what he thought.
Oh, dude, fuck yeah. So,
I'm not really much of a bettor.
Look, we got a rarity because this is the first time we've ever had MMA Beatdown join the show, and I guarantee it's not the last, but we got everybody here tonight. I want the big fights coming up. Let's talk about that shit. Who the fuck thinks Hendricks whooped GSP?
Man. I hope so. But I hope Jake Shields would whoop him somehow. I hope I've been hoping Koscheck would beat him. I hope Shields would sub him. I don't know, man. I don't know. It'd be nice, but I don't know.
I know this sounds crazy and a lot of people say it, but if this is the guy that's gonna beat him. You know, if somebody's gonna beat him, this should be the guy to beat him, you know?
Yeah.
He has great wrestling. You know, he has punching power. When we're gonna find out, you know. I mean, everybody knows GSP's all around. You never know.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
Somebody mentioned to me, which made me think. I was already thinking, like, you know, those under the radar fights where, like, it kind of seems like an under the radar fight for me, unless you go to like forums and stuff or like the internet, like we probably do. But for most people, you know, I would say like the casual fan doesn't even know who Johnny Hendricks is for the most part, you know, or like, oh, I saw that guy. He fought, you know, a couple months ago or whatever. But I also think, like, my friend told me everyone that. I don't know if this is like 100% true, but he said everyone that Johnny Hendricks has fought, Johnny Hendricks has hit him with that left hand and hurt him. And I was trying to think back. I'm like, well, he hurt Condit bad. He knocked Kampman out. And then I'm thinking back fights. I mean, I know the Mike Pierce fight was kind of lackluster or whatever, but still, I mean, I think
now,
for the most part, you know.
I want to ask it because I think there's an issue no one's talking about with Hendricks. And Hamlet and Jeff both, especially because you guys are from up there, he had a problem with Rick Story. And Rick Story's got great fucking wrestling. Let's be honest, he does. And he had a problem.
Rick Story is tough. He's just freaking tough. Even when you spar with the guy in the gym, dude, it's a fight. You don't get to spar with him. You have to fight with him. And he's just that mentality. But GSP, Matt Serra stole his soul, and he doesn't have a heartbeat, bro. I'm sorry.
That's just my opinion,
but... My opinion.
He finds a way to win, though.
Absolutely. He's the greatest athlete, 170-pounder right now, going and running around, but he's not a fighter. You know what I mean? He's not a fighter. You're not going to see him bite down and throw.
No, and look, this is what I say, guys, all the time. You have fighters who are athletic, and you have athletes who can fight, and he is an athlete who can fight. He will not risk leaving it all in the cage to win a fight. He won't.
I mean, John Jones, he could have easily just lost that last fight. I mean, it was questionable one way or the other, but he bit down and fought, dude. He showed he had a pair of nuts, man.
Yeah. That's definitely true. I mean, I was going for Gus a whole lot in that fight. But you're damn right, man. I mean, that fourth round, I think it was the last, like, 50 seconds or something like that, 40 seconds. And I don't even know how Gus was standing, you know, just heart and a good chin. And then the fifth round, Jones won. But I'm not trying to get into scoring or whatever. But Jones, all the haters got shut down in that, you know what I mean? And I wouldn't call myself a hater. I'm just not a big fan of Jones. But a lot of people who said, you know, oh, he can't fight adversity or whatever, he proved everybody wrong, man, because he was getting lit up. And he found a way to win, man.
Well,
I don't know if GSP has that, though.
Yeah, no, but look, let's be honest. Okay, you got, you know, I'm the first one to bring this up about GSP, but and once again, this goes to his ability to implement his game plan, which is control you, keep you from dominating or hurting him and getting a win. Since his loss to Serra, he's got two finishes and I think 9 or 10 decisions. And those decisions over Diaz, Condit, Shields, Koscheck, Hardy, Alvarez, Bitch, you know, look, let's be honest. You take those kind of guys, grade A strikers, grade A wrestlers. He has beaten them all. Brazilian jiu-jitsu guys. That's what scares me. The only thing that scares me is the fact that he's had trouble with Rick Story, because I think Rick Story's wrestling is ridiculous, and I think GSP's is on par with Story. And, but the thing that's the biggest is the hand. I think GSP is good enough with his hand to keep the fight close and take it down when he needs it to take it down.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
And that's what that's what's going to hurt.
GSP
should. Go ahead.
Yeah. GSP should be a huge favorite going into this fight. I don't care what anybody says, but I hope he does. I hope he loses. I have not. When's the last exciting GSP?
Yeah, I understand. I remember. I don't know. I read GSP was sick or whatever like that, but I try not to look too much into that. But in the Diaz fight, after the third round, when they were walking back to their stools. And I was telling my friend, that same guy, Mike, I was like, dude, I think GSP's tired. And I was like, really, like, I was trying to think back at the same time while I'm watching the fight. I'm like, man, when's the last time I've been this wrapped up in a GSP fight? You know what I mean? And the only reason I was wrapped up is because I thought he was going to lose. And I don't mean to seem like a fickle fan or whatever like that, but I'm just saying, like, I thought, like, oh, GSP's finally tired and maybe, like, this guy can get one over on him. But since then and before that, after that, besides the head kick by Condit or whatever like that, it's just like you pretty much know what's going to happen.
It's true. You know,
if you're
going to
beat him, you got to... If you're going to beat GSP, just like you just said, you know what he's going to do. You know? As a fighter, as his opponent, you have to stop him from doing what he's going to do every time, you know?
Yeah.
See, my biggest concern is that, you know, GSP is going to be able to implement his game plan and control the wrestling and take away the power shot. And if he does, it's going to be a boring fight. If for some reason GSP tries to play dirty boxing, I think he'll get caught and lose. But I don't think he's going to get taken down.
He might fight him like he did Crosscheck. He picked Crosscheck apart.
I have a feeling he might sub Hendricks, possibly, if Hendricks gets really tired. Because you saw Hendricks in that third round just running on overdrive against Condon. He still won the fight and everything, but I don't know. I don't really know. I don't know.
Well, you know, that's why this boy's stepping the cage. But I'll be honest, folks, I think this is one of the better cards I've seen in a while. With excluding the Sonnen-Evans fight, the McDonald-Lawler fight, Koscheck-Woodley, Evan Dunham, Donald Cerrone, Ed Herman, Latus, Brian Ebersole versus Rick fucking Story. Those are good fucking fights.
Yeah, they are.
Yeah.
They didn't scratch. I thought they'd scratch the shell fight when they got selected to Tough. They didn't. They kept it on, huh?
It's still listed.
I was wondering if they were going
to. Wait.
Scratch it.
Brian Ebersole fought Rick Story? Or he's going
no,
to?
No, he's scheduled. He's going to.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, how did I miss that fight? Okay. I'm just saying it's here. My bad.
I think that's a great fight. I think it can, you know, obviously everybody knows what. Brian's what, like 60, 70 pro fights in? He's up there. So he's got game. And I think he can hang with Story. So it'll be interesting. I think it could be a really good fight. But, dude, Evan Dunham, Donald Cerrone, doesn't that just sound like a fucking barn burner?
Yeah. Possibly. It's going to be a good fight.
Okay. What do you guys think? The chances are Robbie Lawler knocks out Rory McDonald.
Oh, I'd love it.
Absolutely.
I would love it.
Yeah.
Robbie Lawler can knock out anybody.
That's so fucking true.
Oh, man.
That would be nice.
Remember when he knocked out Tiki? Tiki's like, oh, I slipped.
It was a cut or something? Yeah, I got stopped
because
of a cut.
I got cramped and stopped it on a cut.
And then they showed that fight. They showed it on something. I don't remember if it was UFC Reloaded or some shit or a fight night. And I'm looking. I haven't seen the fight. You know how when you haven't seen a fight in a long time, you know who won or whatever, but you're not, like, really sure. And I was thinking, and they showed just Tiki getting, like, fucking mollywopped. And, man.
That was one of the last times they stopped interviewing guys getting knocked out.
Or showing their wives or something. I remember when they used to show their wives. That's crazy. When, yeah.
Dude, I tell you what. You guys, what's your opinions on the 35 MMA cards for the UFC next year? Is that too many?
No.
Way too many. Too many.
Too many?
I think too many. I was reading earlier on fucking Derp Dog that the Kane and JDS fight. It was either the Kane and JDS pay-per-view or the Jones and Gustafsson. I honestly don't remember which one. But they didn't get very high buys or whatever.
It was Kane and JDS, yeah.
The one in Houston? Okay.
Yeah.
And somebody said, well, they're putting out so many free cards that the UFC is kind of losing its mystique.
Yeah, but you guys got to remember, they're putting out that many cards, and the fighters only still only fighting three times a year. It's the only way to keep these guys active. So what do? Cut down the cards and these guys go get jobs or what?
Yeah, I can't say that, man. I can't say people should lose their job. Definitely not. I hear that. Maybe more fights a card? I don't know. I don't know, man. 10 fights a card, kind of a lot.
Go to 15.
Know.
What they should do is cut down on cards and go to 15 fights or whatever on each card or add 5 fights or something like that, you know?
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah, that'd be cool too, yeah.
I don't want anybody to lose their job, especially when they've been working that long to get into the big time or whatever, into the UFC.
And Matt Hamill's gone too, though.
They cut him? Fire?
Yeah.
They cut him?
Yeah.
Matt Hamill got cut. He
should have retired when he retired, you know? He should have not come back.
Yeah.
Well, he came back
Do you guys think he needs money, or do you think he just came back for the love of the game?
If you notice about a lot of fighters, man, they can't walk. They just can't leave.
Yeah.
They gotta get that one more fight in.
Yeah, I don't want to get attacked or whatever in the whatever the fuck message boards or by you guys or whatever, but think about, like, pro wrestling, how many times Hulk Hogan's been back, you know what I mean? Or how many times, or you can look at it, too, like, how many times Ken Shamrock came back for one more, you know, against Rich Franklin or whatever. You think these guys just can't, you know, they get out of the spotlight and then they don't know, you know, what to do? You think that's part of it? Because I don't think Hamill, like, was desperate for money.
No, he came back because a group of disabled athletes came to him and said that he was such an inspiration, so he's like, okay, maybe I should make another run at this. That's why he came back.
I'm not trying to call him a liar, but do you think that really happened?
Yeah, I do. I believe it. Yeah. I believe that was the push he needed to go back. I truly do.
Yeah. That's
you know,
cool.
I mean, like for me, you know, I mean, like if a group of strippers showed up and were like, come on to the strip club, I'd be like, okay, you know. Maybe it's the same kind of mentality.
Call me when they show up, all right?
you're already going to go there anyway. No.
Hey, look, I tell my wife that's for work. You guys want to have the – get a fucking strip club for a sponsorship like I got. Dude, that is like, babe, I've got to go down there for work. Well, why are you going Friday at 10? It's the only time the manager's in. I need to talk to him about the contract.
Just think about that. I mean, I'm 24. I'm not married yet, so I need to. I'm taking like mental notes. I didn't know I could actually learn anything from Skippy, but maybe I can. besides about little grow rooms or whatever, I didn't think I could learn anything. Maybe I can.
Hey, everybody learns. It's like Sesame Street around this shit.
Oh,
wow, Pankow is going to Fight Network. Fucking sweet.
Dang, I was just going to ask about... I didn't know if you already had something that's planned, Skippy, but I was going to talk about something real quick, if you didn't mind, just for a second.
about you already know one of my favorite fighters is Michael Bisping, and I know a lot of people don't like him or whatever. But he said he had an interview. Yeah, he might be. He probably is. He is. But he had an interview saying that he's been in the UFC a long time and hadn't had a title fight, and it made me think. Well, he's my favorite fighter. The only time I rooted against Rashad Evans was when he fought Michael Bisping, and stuff like that. But it made me think, like, well, every time that Michael Bisping stood up, took a step up in the competition, he lost. You know, Chael Sonnen, he lost to Rashad Evans. Dan Henderson. You know, and Dan Henderson, you can count that 5 or 6 times because that was bad. You know, so it made me think, like, I'm not really sure how to word this, but it made me think, like, okay, you've been in the UFC for so long, so should you just start getting handed title shots like maybe some people have? Does that make sense? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, is that where the UFC is going? Or, like, Chael Sonnen, you know, he's a draw. I think Michael Bisping's a draw, too. So is it like, well, you may not have any top 5 wins, if any, but you've been here for a long time, so you know what I mean? Like, you should. Michael Bisping getting a title shot in the UK or something, if they had a pay-per-view there, would draw big. But I think it's kind of good that he doesn't have a title shot yet. You know, beat one or two top five guys.
They gave him his title when he got that gift over Matt Hamill. Don't you remember that one? That was one of the upper tier low bad decisions that we've seen, obviously, you know.
Mm-hmm. Hey,
he's just not good enough to beat those top, you know, 4 to 5 guys. I mean, look at Vitor Belfort did to him. Look at freaking Hendo did to him. And,
okay.
You know?
We talk about this a lot on the show. I rank guys. Look, you have guys that are champions, winners, finishers, fucking true great. Then you have number one. And I would say right now, honestly, GSP being number one is somebody like Anderson Silva, the greatest, because he finishes fights, and that's the difference. But when you talk about numbers, Bisping would never, and I'm sorry, bro, but he will never be better than a number 5 fighter in his career.
No.
He's a fucking heat herring. He is somebody that will always sell tickets and put on a good fight, bring the shit talk, and bring the gun, but he will never be a GOAT.
That's kind of what I'm getting at, though, because I kind of know that. If Michael Bisping fought Anderson Silva, it'd be a fucking Michael Bisping may never fight again. You know, I'm sure he'd fight again, but I'm just saying, like, figure of speech, like, he'd get humiliated. When he fought Chael Sonnen, it was lackluster. When he fought Dan Henderson, he got knocked out decisively. When he fought Vitor Belfort, he got knocked out decisively. But I'm just saying, do you think that it's good? I honestly think it's good that he hasn't gotten a title shot because he never beat those top guys. But then you can turn around to somebody else who just gets a title shot for beating one or two. They beat a top 10 guy and they get a title shot. So how do you find, like, the medium is what I'm saying. I'm not really talking about Michael Bisping in particular. I'm talking about, like, the UFC in general, like how some people get this and some people don't. Like, how do you find, like, the medium of – I don't know. It's kind of hard to word, and I've had,
it's
like,
sellability of
if Bud Light Platinums are catching up to me. But I'm just trying to say, like, you know, you find that medium.
It's sellability of the fighters. Look, I can sell you right now Cormier versus Phil Davis better than I can sell the fans Cormier versus Nog, okay? And that's what some of this comes down to, is the ability to sell fucking asses and seats. You guys, Jeff and Hamlet, both, you guys both consistently deal with organizations and having to be part of the matchmaking process by providing fighters and making matches. And how many times do you guys have to take a fight to sell tickets versus what truly should be the matchup? And be honest.
Number one is ticket sales, man. The ticket sales go before the fight, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, Bisping would sell tickets more than Calvin.
In England.
I mean, or yeah. Well, I mean, I still think, like, that's kind of what I'm getting at, though. He would sell tickets more than Anderson Silva versus Patrick Cote or something.
So, that's true.
No, and I'm not taking a shot. I like Patrick Cote, the horse meat line that he said on Tough. You know, I always remember that. But that's what I'm getting at. And I'm not trying to make it like a debate where I'm just trying to, like,
yeah.
say something where, like, I'm trying to counter everything you're saying. But I'm saying, why is it different for some guys and for other guys? Like, if you were to ask me, should Michael Bisping get a title shot? No, I think he'd have to meet Mark Munoz, and then I think he would, if they were going to still fight, think he would have had to beat Mark Munoz and then beat somebody else. And he's never done that. Every time that he gets a step up, he loses. Controversial, knockout, whatever, he loses. So he shouldn't get a title shot. But for somebody else, then they just, I mean, Chael loses to Anderson Silva, and then he's fighting John Jones. Different circumstances, I know, but I'm just saying,
It's the same. It's sellability. He's a marketable product. Look, Felice Herring. She's a good fighter. Is she great? Fuck no. Is she good? Yes. Is she a master fucking marketer and getting fucking
mad?
Yeah,
hell yeah, she is.
Yes, she is. And you know what? She's getting fights left and right because of her marketability. It's how you sell yourself as a product. Look, you guys watched the growth in the last 5 years for social media. A lot of promotions look over a fighter just because he doesn't have social media. They don't give a fuck how good he is. They care about the presence. Can he sell? Can he sell? Can he sell? And Bisping has consistently been on pay-per-views and fight nights with lower numbers. So no matter how good he does, until he comes on a 5-6 fight win streak, and it's not just him. There's other guys like that. Look, Donald Cerrone. Here's another guy. He's a Bisping-style fighter. He's always going to be a number 4, 5, 6 fighter in his career. He's never going to be a number one, a great.
So that's what I'm asking. Do you think, I mean, I don't want to say 90%. That's kind of high. Let's say 70% of fight fans are not like us, though. They don't care. They don't look back, hey, this guy lost to this guy a year ago or his last fight or two fights ago. They're just like, hey, I like this guy. Or you know what I mean? So they're going to buy the ticket or buy the pay-per-view or whatever. So they're not looking at, like,
that's why we call those kind of people Zuffa zombies. Look, you should never look at a paper fucking record. Because I'll show you right now, I got a dude, and he was a poster boy. I've brought him up before on the show. He was a poster boy for the rule changes in Oregon for MMA. The guy lost 4 in a row, okay? He was suspended for life under the law here. Here's the thing is, 4 title fights in a row, all 4 were split decision losses. So you look at his record and you see he's 8-4 with 4 losses in a row. People are like, oh, he finally stepped up in competition and got whooped. No, the motherfucker lost 4 title fights against some of the best fighters in his weight class in the fucking state. So you need to look at the whole, and that's the shit thing is what's wrong with the business today is it's become fucking Walmart. People go in there with their eyes closed and grab, grab, grab.
That's what I'm kind of getting at, man. I'm not even – this isn't even about Michael Bisping. It's just about as a whole. Can you get what I'm saying? Like, it's not about Michael Bisping. It's just about people looking at records or looking at who – like I might get hate for this forever. I don't think, like, Ronda Rousey is, like, a top elite fighter. I just think, like –
she ain't.
Like,
she ain't.
I'm just saying, like, look where women's MMA is at. You know what I mean? So you're saying, like – where it's at right now, she's winning a lot or whatever. But I'm just saying, when they market somebody to be that, or they market somebody to be some world beater, they may not be. Most people don't even look at records; they don't even care. They see it before a fight, and they're just like, oh, whatever. You know what I mean? Like it's, and then they fight and they win, they lose, whatever. I don't know, man. I didn't mean to start like a big thing about it. I was just trying to say like, where are most MMA fans at? Like where? Like, where's their heart at? Like, are they just paying attention to...
Hold on. Hey, beat down. You do a lot of questionnaires, okay? You ask the fans a lot of good questions through social media and through MMA Beatdown. Do you feel, reading all those responses, that there are more fans that are just kind of blatantly blind to the real sport? Hello?
Hi.
Is he not here? Beatdown.
Did we lose here?
Did we lose him?
He was here a second ago.
I know.
You...
Oh, well, I wanted to ask him because he does a lot of good questions on his Facebook wall to get fans involved over there on MMA Beatdown. And I'm curious, you know, because he obviously reads way more than I do. But, you know, I'd like to know.
Hey, you got?
Hey, oh, you there?
Hey, that's me. I'm here. Yeah, I mean, I'm here. No, man, I know what you're saying. I mean, is yeah, man, fans just, I don't know, sometimes it gives you doubt, you know. I mean, they don't want to hear the truth because it's who they see on TV and who's selling. Exactly what you said, right, you know. I mean, I know a guy, what you just said about the four losses. The four losses came from fighting from the top guys. And a lot of guys won't even bother to look at that. Oh, man, his record sucks. Who do they lose against? You know, that's how far you got to see the picture. And the thing about Michael Bisping, Michael Bisping, man, you hit that right too because he'll never, no, no title shot for Michael Bisping unless he puts a big string together. You know, a good winning streak. You know,
he needs two or three solid wins, man.
Yeah, solid, real fights, real wins. You know.
Yeah.
What happened
against
so
fucking David Haye or I'm not David Haye, but like all the people he was beating before, you know, like.
And you said David Cormier and Phil Davis? Man, I would want to see that.
See, but I'll be honest. I'd rather see Cormier fight Nog, personally. Because I look at this. I think Cormier doesn't have the hand power to knock somebody out, let alone the hand bone structure, with always breaking his hands and doing damage in his fight with his hands. We saw he didn't have the power to knock somebody out when he gave Roy Nelson the best shots and Barnett the best shots he could. So dropping down in weight, he's not bringing heavyweight power. And I think Nog has better hands and footwork standing up than Cormier, and I believe that his jiu-jitsu could keep the fight pushed away from each other.
I don't, yeah.
But see, a lot of people think Phil Davis is the better fight, like yourself. Which is great because I see the fight going to be, hey, I can stop your wrestling. I can control you on the ground, you know? So it's an interesting fight.
Another thing is,
I'd like to see Daniel Cormier fight a few guys that are there already. You know, instead of getting a straight-up title shot at 205, I mean, I'd like to see him beat somebody before, you know?
Yeah.
You know, if Phil Davis would be the guy I'd like to see him beat, you know what I mean? And, okay. That's a good one. That's also, you know, but I don't know. Phil Davis gets looked over quite a bit, you know?
What about throwing in Gus?
Hey, you there?
What the heck?
Yeah. What about throwing Cormier-Gus? What do you think of that beatdown?
It's too early.
Okay. Fair.
I'd like to see him fight somebody else before he gets, I mean, come on, man. Number one guy. Just give you know, I don't know. I'll buy it. I'll watch it. I'm just saying, I'd like to see him. You know, I'll fly out and see it, you know, but I'm just saying I'd like to see him fight Davis first. You know, just, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Phil Davis deserves that, you know. And Daniel Cormier, we'd see. I mean, he'd see if he deserves a next step up, you know. I mean, I don't know. Just going, dropping down to 205, that's going to be huge, you know.
Well, and now look, I know dropping down to 205, you know,
He went 224 for the weigh-ins with Roy Nelson.
Him? Yeah. What about him facing somebody like Hendo?
Let him fight somebody like Chael?
Like Hendo. Let him fight Henderson. Dan Henderson.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd like to see that.
You think that's, I mean, you know, or, you know, Go ahead.
Yeah, that'd be a good one. That'd be good. I'd like to see that, you know. I'd like to see that. But I don't know. It don't take much, man. I like a fight's a fight, you know. But I like to see the guys that deserve it get their shots first, you know. And the guys that are waiting around for their title shot that made it up to number two and number three guys, you know, give them guys their shots, you know. So.
Now, let me ask you, because this is really the first time we've ever got to kick back on the show, man, and I like some of your opinion, so I'm curious. What do you think about Ovince St. Preux? How legit do you think he is?
Say it again?
Ovince St. Preux, the guy from Strikeforce they brought over, is built like Chet Tongo.
Yeah.
What, how legit do you think he is? Obviously, he's undefeated in the UFC. He did finish have a loss at Strikeforce to end over there, but how legit a 205 do you think he is? He's built like
John Jones. 205, but yeah. Oh, man.
I like the kid. I think we're going to see some shit. Oh, there we go. I think we're going to see some action from him in the next little bit.
You're hitting that kush too much, Skippy. That's what that is.
It's medicine from my glaucoma.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'm sorry.
Yeah, without that, I couldn't see the 36 fights I have, jacked up. Man, tonight, I had three different monitors with different events. Plus, we had people at, Bellator. We had people at the World Series fighting weigh-ins. We had people at King of the Cage in Canada. So, like, all night long, I've been sitting here waiting for the show just to put all that shit away. It's been so nice. And, actually, we got about 10 minutes left in the show, so I want to make sure all the fans listening tonight know how to get a hold of Beatdown. MMA Beatdown, give them all the information, anything you want to say, shout-outs, whatever. I just want to make sure we get it all out before we run out of time.
No, you can just look me up on Facebook. Let me know which fight. I usually post up which fight I'm going to be at, where I'm going to be at. I mean, hell, I try to post as many pictures and videos as I can. I like to do a lot of little shows. But you can look me up on Facebook, or you can go to MMAB.com. Give me a call. Or every Friday night, you can find me over here.
Hell yeah. Definitely. You guys definitely got to check out and follow him on Facebook, man. He gets some great stuff up there. And like I said,
I stay out of the arguments. I stay out of the arguments. A lot of people say, hey, man, this guy, man, I love it, man. But somebody called me a fag. Somebody called me gay. I don't settle that shit. They own your own. You know what I mean? You're a big boy. If you you don't tell anybody anything. No, I don't tell anybody anything, dude. I get called a fag every day because I don't say what you want me to say. It's not I'm going to delete you. Say whatever you want, I mean, that's what I'm there for. I put the facts out there. If you don't like the facts, you're arguing with facts. I don't give my own opinion unless you ask for it and then you're in trouble. But I put the facts out there. And that's all I want to do. The rest of this, you make your own mind up, but
that's what. But that's what
support,
it's all about.
I say support. Yeah, and I strongly believe in supporting local MMA. The little shows, that's where our guys come from. That's where stars come from. That's what you want to call them. But get out and support your local MMA, man, because they need it.
I agree. Before we wrap up, Anthony Hamlet, always a pleasure to have him on. Jason Ellis from Relentless Sports Management, thank you. The Hebrew Hammer, Ben Stark from Dare Fight Sports. You guys heard it here, January 25th, fucking going down in Bangkok live. You don't want to miss it. And look forward to the full event in HD coming, not only to CBS Sports or NBC Sports, one of those two, I don't remember which, but he's going to hook Madhouse up with a copy. You guys know we'll share the shit out of that. Also, Clinch Cut the Mouth Guards, getclinch.com. I really appreciate you also joining us. Hey, big shout-out to Clock Tower Pub, number one sports bar in all of Oregon, Vision Smoke Shop, great sponsor. Whether you need a piece for your pocket or to fill the whole shelves in your store, hit up visionsmokes.com. Big shout-out to Ink Tank Tattoo, Jax Media, Go Fight Live TV, Aggressive Clothing, Revolver MMA, and MMA Madhouse. Thank you to all my great sponsors. Okay, guys, we got a few minutes left. We got all the business out of the way. One fight you're looking forward to tomorrow that you guys think could be an upset. It doesn't matter what event. Beatdown, you first, brother.
Ah, good Lord, if he wins.
Okay.
That's what I want to see. I want to see Melvin Gallard pull it off. I really do. I really want to see him pull it off.
I'll be honest. I want to see Josh Berkman win the title. Though I'm scared that it's going to be an upset. I think I'm a little nervous Carl's going to take it. But I would like to see Berkman I've watched him for years. I think this is his time.
Yeah.
And a big shout out to a Clinch sponsored fighter on that card and Relentless Sports Management fighter, Josh Reddinghouse. He's fighting Alexis Vila. Kid's a beast out of the Pacific Northwest. Big shout out to him. Yeah, that's going to be a good card. Hey, by the way, folks, you got to watch XFC coming up in Michigan. Our boy Dave Insane Crochet. Crochet is going to be on that card along with Daniel fucking Swain. Dude, that card's stacked. We got some good buddies. And you guys, for real, Jeff, I know he's still on here. He'll tell you, man, Dave Crochet, he's a fucking motherfucking beast.
Yep. Scary.
This is a guy who has won multiple titles at 170 and fought all the way up to 205, and now his professional weight class is 155.
That's XFC, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Dude, he had a war with Woodard in Montana earlier this year. He went over to Destiny and beat Ronald June for the title there. I mean, dude, the guy's legit, dude. He's beating down some motherfuckers, like, ridiculously. Hey, this is no shit. There's a guy here who owns a BJJ gym. And Lepaki, who usually would be on the show with us, my co-host for most of Madhouse, they've gotten into a fight. Dave Crochane knocked this dude out, let him get back up, and knocked him out again. Just fucking great shit. Oh, dude, yeah. Well, fucking gentlemen, I tell you what, every Friday you guys know how we do it on the Rogue Show. You guys are always welcome. Dude, we'll talk about any fucking event, anytime, anything MMA. Sometimes we'll call a strip club and interview strippers. Who knows? You never know.
Hey, it's been a while since you guys did that. I remember that.
Yeah.
I need some really work anyway.
Could be like Drew Brokenshire next weekend.
Oh, Drew Brokenshire next weekend. He's fighting who?
Some cat out of the Tri-Cities.
Fuck. Why can't I remember?
Port, I think is his name.
Oh, dude. Oh, dog. He's fighting Hamlet's boy. Honestly, after watching Sterling Ford fight over in Russia, my concern was he was fighting out of his weight class. And I think this is a better weight class for him. It's going to be hard to tell until I see him perform there. Drew Brokenshire is no fucking joke, though. I mean, let's be honest. He's real. He's good. Hey, guys, by the way, November 2nd, Jeff Munson, Michael 300 Hayes, Cage Warrior Combat motherfuckers. Jeff Munson, after 10 years, is coming home to fight where he grew up and where he started all this shit, and it's going to be a fucking war. You guys go to Cage Warrior Combat's Facebook, tweet to win VIP packages, man. That's tickets, food, clothes, meet and greets, the fucking works. Okay, sorry about that. I had to give them some love while I thought about it.
You told me.
Well, you guys know how we do this show every week, man. And for real, MMA Beatdown, I any weekend, every Friday, man. If you're up kicking, you want to join, this is the show to get on anytime. I don't care if you just want to call and talk for 10 minutes or 2 hours. And we'll talk about anything, dude, and just fucking jump in, man. Anytime you got something to say, you see how we go. We just argue, so... I thank you so much, sir, for finally kicking back and joining the show.
No problem, man. No problem at all. Now I know where to go.
Yeah, and Texas Jeff, you know, this has been going on for years with you. So,
I already know. Hey, I will tell you this, though, real quick before you hang up, or have to hang up if there's no overtime. We need to get Teddy DiBiase back on his show at least once a month, man.
We're working on that, brother. I promise.
Yeah.
He's
been off the radar, man.
Yeah, we're trying.
I don't even get on Twitter, but I get on Twitter and I tweet him and like one other person, and they're falling off, man. He needs to get at least on one more show, man.
I'm working
one
on
show.
That, brother.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. You know what I mean? Hey, I will tell you this. I will make this public. The Barnett Ranch will sponsor his whole show if Teddy DiBiase gets on once a month. I'm making that public and known right now.
There we go, dude. I'll pass that on. And, dude, Jeff, it's always good. Clinch, always
good.
Yeah,
definitely, man.
You guys know I end the show. Eagle!
Oh,